They can't see my face. So if I do this, it's all okay.
Totally okay.
I mean, are you cutting this out?
We're doing this. Let me just take off my shirt.
That better stay in.
Okay, you ready? Okay, let's do this. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father, please come and fill our hearts with your power and your grace. I ask you to please bless everyone who may be listening to this thing, and pray that Vince and I would be like pencils in your hand, and that we would glorify your name in our speech and our thoughts. So, dear lady, please be with us. All right. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's do this, little pencil.
Go.
Welcome to the Made for Greatness podcast, the podcast where we unpack what it means to be made for the greatness of God. And certainly, this isn't a greatness that the world offers us, this greatness of prestige and wealth and power, but this is a greatness that demands that our hearts be purged of the vinegar in there, the vinegar that fills our hearts up and prevents all of God to come in there. So I encourage whoever's listening to this thing, wherever and whenever you are, to right now invite God into your life in a deeper way. All right, amen.
Amen.
So I got my friend Vincent Ignachuk, whom I've known since before he was cool. So that means that by a matter of association, I made him cool. Perhaps we'll see. I really like Vince. I think he's a great guy, and we've been talking about doing this little episode of the thing for a while, and I'm glad that we're finally able to get it done. We'll see how things go. I've got nothing to ask you, Vince, other than I want to know about you. I want to know some of your thoughts. I know there's some ideas that we were percolating over the past little while, but just tell me a little bit about yourself, Vince. Everyone who listens to this thing has heard me ramble on for centuries, or what feels like centuries. Let's hear you ramble on for a few minutes.
I don't want to ramble, Kevin. Thank
Yeah,
you.
well,
Thank
tell
you
me where.
for inviting me.
Oh, my pleasure, buddy. Tell me where you're from.
Okay, so before I tell you where I'm from, I have to say that we have not been working on this together. I've been bugging you, and I like you said, episode. And I'm being real here. I'm not going to be all fancy and flashy. You said episode. I was thinking this is going to be like a daily thing that we talk and we just back and
Daily.
forth
Daily is hourly. I was thinking like live by the whole day. A day in the life of Vincent Ignatiuk.
Yeah, close enough. Thank you, Kevin Philippi.
So,
Okay, what's a little bit about myself? I'll tell you a little bit about
where you're
myself.
from? You're from a different mother than I am. So
Yes, I am. Well, I'm going to say this first as well. I got lots of firsts. My story is boring, and I don't mind saying that. When Laura and I were talking about that you invited me on to do this. Laura's my wife, by the way. She's the one that makes me a better man. It's my better half. I said, my story's boring. And she said to me, well, she didn't say anything. She just looked at me and rolled her eyes. And I don't think my story's good, but I think there are little bits and pieces that if you dig down deeper, I had a lot of things to come to where I am today. A lot of good God moments. Didn't grow up faithful at all. My parents needed to get married, so they both joined the United Church, which was cool. I think back in the day, they just needed to connect on a religious level that was the same so they could get married, and they did it that way. And then I went to church off and on, helped with rummage sales, took part in, church thingies with my minister, Brother Curtis. Oh,
Sorry,
wait a minute.
I was sleeping.
I thought this was an hour long. So I'm trying to fill time here. These are time fillers.
Hey, so back up a little bit. I want to
No, I don't
know.
want to back up.
Oh, I'd like to know, like, when you say your story's boring,
It's boring because I didn't do anything wild and crazy. And I don't want
so
to do anything wild and crazy.
that's what I want to know is, what's a story that's not boring? What does that look like to you? You just said that yours is a little boring. Like, what would an exciting story look like?
I had a former priest who grew up in a war zone and came, and they had to rush away from a country and then moved to Canada and lived here for a while and then got sent back there. That's a cool story. That's like, man, that person went
Yeah.
through a lot of hardship. I didn't have that. I mean, we had hardship. We had things that came and went that
Yeah.
are that way, but it's not the this is related, by the way. I heard a talk by a speaker that said, you know, I grew up not religious, was into the drug, sex, and rock and roll, and now they're religious. And I was like, that's a cool story. That's a conversion, right?
I see.
However, you can be, I will say this, the coolest part of my story is that while I still think it's boring, you don't need to be into drug, sex, and rock and roll to have a cool story. You can just be lukewarm and boring, and then God can touch you on your heart and you can change immediately. So that's the coolest part of my story. It's boring because I didn't do anything wild and crazy, but it's cool, and that's important to me.
It's also common, you know, probably the vast majority of stories or testimonies or conversion experiences are just normal nitty-gritty day-to-day life. Do you think that somehow, Vince, that since it's a common story, that there's merit in having some sort of a unity from a common story? Sharing this story, despite it being boring and maybe hesitant to share it because it's a quote-unquote boring story, do you think that somehow that this boring story could resonate with somebody else's life, and how even look at an element of how God has touched your life in one simple way? Like, maybe it could be something as simple as you looked outside, you saw a bird, and you're like, you know what? God takes care of the birds. He's going to take care of me. That's not big pie in the sky. You know, that's not war-torn Ukraine or your war-torn African country. That's not former Navy SEAL stuff, but that's like nitty-gritty stuff. That's the majority of your Christian living is done right there in the nitty-gritty of life. I don't know.
Yeah, I see them. I see that. That's the common part. I see it in my wife and kids, right?
I'm sure
there's many of this. There was a comment posted by Scott Hall, which I'm sure every listener, including your mom listening to this now, knows.
Well, it's just me, my mom, and myself.
Okay. Well, I'm going to listen to this one too and see what I actually sound like, because you know you sound different when you listen to yourself. Anyway, he posted a little picture of a kid praying and saying, I want to... God, please help me to grow up big and strong like my dad. And then the dad, it cuts to the dad and praying, say, I just want to be simple and loving like my kid. And that touched me, right? That's what you do. That is what you do every day. That's
Amen. That's the essential of the Christian life, I think.
Absolutely. But that's why you get together with people that are the same as you, that it is a common story, right? That's why you have Made for Greatness events. That's why you have podcasts for Made for Greatness people like this, right? Is that you say, hey, I know that guy. I live that life, and I spend time with my kids, and I'm not in a war-torn area, but I need to be fed.
Right. So tell me a little bit more about that, Vince, if you don't mind. So from your normal, boring life, how do you encounter God in your daily life? Or is this something that you think about? Or is it something that is your relationship with God something that is a motivating factor in your daily activities?
Yes, I can answer that. I do two things every day when I drive to work.
There we go.
They're not that great.
They're normal. See, cut out. Forget the great stuff.
Just... You were building it up, and I was like, I say two things. Here's the things, please, that I say.
Okay, one thing, or is that the first thing?
I say two things.
Well, you just said a bunch of things. It's more than two. So
okay.
So
you should just cut everything into laughter for 20 minutes, and it'll be great.
Hey, it'd be like a regular phone call with the two of us. So please tell me. Here's out of two things, what's the one thing?
The first thing that I do as I drive to work is I say, "How can I reflect Jesus in my life today?" That's what I say.
So what is that's great.
I don't have an answer to that question. So just, you know, I just try and live my life that way. And the second thing is that I say, if this is the only day that somebody's going to remember me, how do I want to be remembered? Every day I fail, and I don't want to be remembered in that way, but it's a way that I can focus my attention into work, because I'm even in my job, I'm doing God's work. I don't work at a church. I don't work in a diocese or an eparchy, but I can go to work and I can say, if I have to touch somebody, I want to touch them with the love of Jesus. And if somebody's going to remember me, how are they going to remember me? And those two relate to me. Yeah. That's how I do it.
No, that's cool. That's interesting, because that's the readings from the mass yesterday. You know, the best mass out of all the different Catholic masses.
It's not the same mass. We have a divine liturgy, and I didn't think it was going to devolve into this so quickly. But
I'm just kidding. So the readings for Mass yesterday was from Genesis chapter 17, where we're encouraged to walk blamelessly. Where does it say? Walk blamelessly before God, and then He will make us exceedingly fruitful. And this word for blameless is just the root of it means integrity, honesty, and truthfulness. So what you're saying to me is, how can I walk blamelessly before God? Essentially, is what you're saying. I think it's that's really neat. And it's calling to mind not just a superficial. Would you agree with me, Vince? Let me hear you. I want to hear your thoughts on this.
Were you going to say, would you agree with me? I want to hear you say yes. Yes. You just got me to agree with you. It's like, whoa.
There you
more,
go.
More see, clicks really good for Kemp and Phillip.
That's right. I'm really good at this stuff, ain't I? Think about this. Like, I was watching. So I love Dennis Prager. I really like Dennis Prager. I think that guy is awesome. And if anyone's never heard him, just, you know, you got to Google up or whatever it is you do for the interweb, find Dennis Prager. Prager you. Anyway, on a trailer from Daily Wire, which I also really like, he was talking about how Judaism is he didn't say these words. Maybe I'm mischaracterizing what he was saying. But it was not a superficial faith, but it was one that was kind of demanded activity rather than demanded an interior disposition. And that's maybe I'm misrepresenting what he's saying. Yep. And he was kind of refuting what Jesus said about if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. And Dennis Prager was pushing back against that idea that no, you commit adultery by having sex with somebody who's not your wife. That's how you do adultery. It's not nothing done in the heart. Anyway, when I read this scripture verse about walking blamelessly before God and walking with Him, and when I hear you saying, how can I, what was it that you said, Vince? Sorry, I forgot in my little extroverted brain. You said every morning you get up and you say two things when you get into the car. And what were those two things again?
How can I reflect Jesus in my actions today? And if it was the last day that I was going to live and be remembered, how do I want to be remembered? If people were going to remember me only today, how would they talk about me? How am I going to live my life?
That's a really neat thing for somebody who's got a boring story to say.
I stole that from somebody.
You stole it or not. Like, I mean, it's still great. It's still a good thing to think about. How can I walk blamelessly with God today? So when you say this thing, are you talking about how, you know, I got to keep my lips tight so I don't swear in public, or I got to make sure I open the doors for other people? And those are all good things to have. Or would you say that this desire of yours is stems from the heart, or does it rest purely in what other people say and what other people think about you?
No, it's not about what other people think. It's a combination, I think, of evangelization as well as with evangelization without preaching.
Okay.
And that sounds like I'm hiding it, but not. I want somebody to come to my office door, and whether they're mad or happy, I want to respond. I want to look at them with a light around them, like Jesus would see them. And that's not fluff. That's absolutely true. And there are times that are horrible. I don't do that. I look at them and go, man, why are you complaining to me? I don't have time for you. I do that a lot. Everybody does. Yeah. We fail constantly. I fail constantly. Yeah. But if I can, one person that I interact with, if I can see a little bit of light around them, that's what I want. I want to receive them that way.
Just for clarity's sake, what do you mean by light? Like, do you want to see people's aura? Are you a new age guru?
I wanted to get into that because I think I'm looking at convert. No, I'm not going to get into one thing. I know somebody that I think sees people in their transfigured form, and I would love to be able to do that. I would love to be able to see somebody like they do, with no flaws, with nothing, as just as Jesus made them, or they're going to ultimately end up being like. I would love to be able to do that. I know somebody that does it. It's amazing. But that's not my story. So when you have me on next, we'll talk about it.
There you go. What's this transfigured form? What do you mean?
So I don't know the story very well, but there was a guy named Jesus. Went up a hill and was transformed into dazzling white. When sure. we go to heaven, we'll be transformed into dazzling white. We will be something, like we will be our heavenly form.
Okay.
Hopefully that's not opposed to Catholic teaching, but it's something along those lines. And I want to see people and respond to people in that type of way, not as I see their flaws. If I just look at flaws, then it's a problem. Yeah.
I see. It's really easy to look at flaws, isn't it? They're, sometimes it's the easiest thing that we look at, isn't it? And the only thing that we seem to remember about people is our flaws.
Feels like I confess that all the time. I see the splinter in other people, and I got a big huge log poking out of my eyeballs here. Like, wait, well, nobody could see that. I wish they could have saw me put my little finger, like I was shoving it in my eye, but come out anyway.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's not cool. It's boring. But you know what? Let's get out of the boring. I know I'm not running this, but I'm going to run it. I'm going to run with this. This is perfect. You know what's not boring? I'm Ukrainian Catholic. That's not boring. That's cool.
Yeah, there we go.
You were going to say no, but I you're wrong.
I was going to give you the gears a little bit. So you're Ukrainian Catholic. Okay.
Yep.
That's good. I keep forgetting that you're not as extroverted as I am, and I need to be a little more balanced in my approach to things and be more planned. So, and ahead of time,
bland or bland?
Well, I mean, I am bland, so I just got to be more planned. So for that one or two people who are listening to this thing, Vince and I chatted earlier about what things we'll talk about. And one of those things was Ukrainian Catholicism and even the Byzantine liturgy in general. So Vincent, so tell me why you had the chance to become a Roman Catholic and decided to convert into the Ukrainian Catholic faith.
Absolutely.
And bring your whole family in there too. Force your wife. I mean, encourage your wife to join you in the.
I'm old school.
Yeah. Okay.
For those that know my wife, she would never switch over. But so tell me. But side kind of story. We didn't know this at the time.
Yeah.
Both of us. But when we were married, we were actually married in the Ukrainian Catholic Church. The rite of marriage, whatever you call it, you know, the thing with the thing.
Yeah.
Was done in the Byzantine rite. So we were actually married in the Ukrainian Catholic Church, which is cool because I don't think either of us realized that.
Well, you had Father Basil was the celebrant, wasn't he?
Yep. We had
Father Basil Maloney. Is that his last name?
Maloney, yep.
Maloney, okay.
Maloney, yep. But he did the marriage rite part, but it was all done within the context of a Roman Catholic Mass, which I had a priest say was illicit or legal, and ultimately it's just legal. But, you know, proper sure. is a different thing.
So, what is it about the Ukrainian liturgy that you appreciate? Like, why Byzantine rite instead of the Latin rite?
Well, I was a natural fit because of my ethnic background is Ukrainian, right?
Okay.
So that made it easy.
Did you just sort of that, just before you go from there, Vince? When you say your family background is Ukrainian,
yeah.
Did you have a lot of Ukrainian traditions that you grew up with?
Absolutely. Yeah. Many of my Ukrainian traditions have a very close connection to a religious background. They just were never religious backgrounded.
I see. So that makes sense. Cultural things that you did.
Yeah, they're cultural, but for those people that know sort of the Eastern, Eastern European, that those things kind of go hand in hand. They just got lost in my family as part of a religious context, but they're absolutely religious.
Which is kind of interesting because here in the West, we don't really have those kind of cultural practices.
Nope.
But in the East, you have the cultural practices, but I wonder if they've lost their meaning.
They have. So when I was there, you drive around and think there's icons all over the place, but the icons, far be it from me to judge the driver of the marshrutka, but the, you know, dashes are full of icons, which is great, but I'm not sure the meaning of. The idea was to fight communism, right? So if you could build a church and not have somebody shoot you, then you have the right to do that. Whether it's meant fully religiously or not, those are two different things.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So let's get back to that Ukrainian cultural practices you're growing up with. And even though it wasn't really religiously in mind, like apropos of your attention, that was enough for you to be drawn towards the Byzantine rite. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
what do you find so invigorating about the Byzantine liturgy?
It's sensory oriented.
Oh, cool. Tell me about that.
So on Wednesday, I'll give you a recent example. On Wednesday, I helped serve at a pre-sanctified liturgy, which I talked to you about, so you should go tonight. But anyway, that's a side story. And it's all liturgies, I will say this, including in Roman Catholic masses, are very, they strike me as practical. But the Eastern or Byzantine rite is very much connected to that. So you walk in, the church is dark. It's meant to be dark at a point in the liturgy. There's a psalm that says, oh, something, something light. And then all the lights, somebody goes and turns all the lights on in the church. It's meant to sort of hit you in the face, kind of punch you in the face of saying, this is where we were and this is where we're getting to. We're not at Easter yet, but we're getting there. Lots of incense, lots of smoke, lots of I call all those things punching you in the face. They're meant to sort of hit you and say, hey, this is where you are. This is you need to wake up, because there's something coming that is grandiose and great. And the divine liturgy, Sunday divine liturgy, is the exact same way. And I love that. And I know there's allergies or sensitive people, and I understand that there is that element of it and it makes it difficult, but at the same time, the whole idea is that you're to be drawn to this because you're moving towards something heavenly, something that's going to really hit you. It's going to be bright. It's going to be hit you. You're going to taste it. You're going to smell it. It's going to be surrounding you in every way, shape, or form. I love that about the Byzantine liturgy. I absolutely love it. But here's the caveat, which is the cool part, is that in many of them, not all of them, many of them have an iconostasis. As you're aware, the big screen that covers the sanctuary, you're not there yet. And that's the point of it. I love that. I love that you're being led into something that's where all of that light and senses are coming from. Anyway, I'm going to shut up, but that's what makes it so beautiful, is that you're being led that direction to something heavenly.
Okay. Yeah. And so does that, I'm just going to be facetious and I might be completely wrong, but it sounds like I can get that kind of a sensory experience from a museum. What's the difference between me walking into a museum with all these different senses going around and coming into this liturgy? Is there something different about it? Is there something
if you like looking at stuffed animals and the smell of mothballs, then yeah, you're absolutely correct.
I guess what I'm getting at is I find a lot of times we focus so much on what's up here in the head, mm-hmm. what's up here in the senses. And I find that we miss the omitting. So, and I find that we miss the call to the heart.
And what it's meant to do. Cause
that's what it's meant to do, for sure. Yeah. And do you find, how is that call to the heart encouraged with your Byzantine liturgy?
Hey, so This is actually a really good question. I know only have 9 minutes and 40 seconds left, but
well, let's take 5 minutes and tell me, or 2 minutes and tell me.
There's a combination of things. So it's meant, there are many things in the liturgy and mass that are meant to lead you towards God. The gospel is the word of God. You need to listen to those words. That's a sensory thing. So when you hold the gospel book up, that's the word that demands some adoration or respect. But the words that come out are something else that you need to hear. But you can't get caught up in the words that are just sort of floating around. There's meanings all over the place. Then you have a part of the Byzantine liturgy is you do a walk, and it's meant to sort of symbolize sort of the funeral walk of. Were you yawning? Like, this is important stuff and you're yawning.
I promise I wasn't yawning.
Have that sip of coffee. No. Anyway, so it's meant to sort of symbolize, the symbolism draws you to salvation history or sort of the cosmological design in the world. They're not just meant to hit you physically. They're meant to hit you sort of metaphysically. You get touched by your physical senses to draw you to something beyond that. And so I don't know if that helps explain it, but it's, we have icons high up into the church. So the first churches were cosmological in nature. So you looked up and you were just drawn up and up and up and up and up and out as if you're going towards heaven. But then some of them are meant to have sort of a small, intimate feel, a very monastic feel of prayer. And so it's the physical senses need to be touched in order for you to get for a little bit further. Again, I don't know if I'm just explaining it properly.
Yeah, but you're doing great. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. I'm glad I have one fan.
Well, so do I.
I'm going to listen to this 50 times, so it looks like a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, there you go. So I got two fans. Look at
that. Anyway, that's just 2 minutes of, I think that's a fair question. I can go to a museum and be drawn to a saber-toothed tiger that lived. It's like, oh, that's pretty cool. But
I didn't mean, yes, you're right. Well, I guess what I meant, like the pleasurable experience of art and how
an art is... it has a stop. Sorry to interrupt you, but there's a hard stop. It's a piece of art that makes you see the beauty,
mm-hmm.
but that's it. It doesn't take you any further. I mean, I go on bike rides. I love going for bike rides in the morning. I love in the summer at 4 a.m. when the sun is coming up. That is beautiful. It's wonderful. It's God's creation. It makes me appreciate God's creation. It's not, I'm ultimately not getting the communal gift, the Eucharist, at the end of that bike ride. I can see God's beauty, but I'm not getting there. That's the divine liturgy. That's what you're drawing to. That's why you're going. That's why you're there. There's a sense of community. Your community connects you together with all the people. And all the people are then connected upwards toward God.
Very cool. So it really demands a disposition of heart and mind.
Of absolutely.
To freely make that leap into this realm.
Yeah. But do people, including myself, see that? No, probably not. There are days like I think I'm normal. I go to church, I'm like, ugh, I gotta go visit Kevin Phillip after this. What am I going to bring him for brunch? Like that you get lost in that. But I think people we've shied away from teaching that. And I don't want to get into the politics of that, but I think people got scared of teaching some of that stuff for fear of offending others. And I don't buy it. I think you teach it because it needs to be there. There's a meaning to it. There's a greater meaning to it. Even if it's practical in nature, it was all ultimately sent by God anyway, right?
Beautiful. That's good. I Vincent, I appreciate you sharing this stuff, as boring as it may have been. it was the nitty gritty of life and that activity of freely choosing to surrender your heart to God. Am I wrong in that?
No, you're not wrong. I love it.
And how the liturgy, the Byzantine liturgy, sort of cajoles you outside of the normalness of our day-to-day activity, and almost you're sort of thrown into this experience of all the senses that leads you down this path into the heart of Jesus.
Absolutely. If we only could I think the saints are the only ones that could guarantee this, but if you and I could only comprehend what is everything that is going on at jokes aside of mass or divine liturgy, whatever, if we could only comprehend what is actually happening there, we would be flat on our faces the whole hour or 56 minutes or an hour and 10 minutes or whatever it is. I would love to get to the level of saintliness to understand that. It's we would be in awe if we could realize that all the angels in heaven are present at every divine liturgy. We would be blown away, but we don't. I try, but you're right. You summed it up good. The senses draw you there to call you deep within your heart. That's the way I feel. That's what I like.
Very nice. And if our hearts are full of stuff, kind of like this theme for our Made for Greatness stuff, the context of it being Benedict reminds us that Pope Benedict reminds us that there's vinegar in our hearts. You know, vinegar doesn't necessarily have to be acidic. But I mean, vinegar is acid, I guess, but it could be just things that are distracting. It doesn't have to be a toxic sin in our hearts, just distractions, just things that that we're attached to that take us away from encountering God and the nitty-grittiness of our lives. And that car, those two things that you do, you know, there's things in our lives that distract us from doing those two things. So I'm just going to end it off here. I got someone coming into my office without, and I'm trying to wave them away, but they're not leaving. So
okay. Well, thanks. I appreciate it, Kevin. I will leave. We only got 2 minutes anyway, so they'll come.
Yeah,
in,
no, 2 minutes. How about you close us off with a little prayer, Vincent, and then we'll shut this thing down. Okay.
Sure. Sounds good. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Kevin making an effort to reach out to people all around him. And we just hope that you can come to us and touch us on our hearts in this final week and a half of Lent, and that we can see the beauty of Easter and the Easter season and celebrate it for all the days that, are there. Let us feast in God's great glory. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on us sinners. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
What was that thing you just said?
I said, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was the same thing, only in Ukraine.
Oh, I see.
Amen.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, God bless you, Vince.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it.
You take care.
Bye. We'll do this tomorrow. Sounds good.
Bye.
See you later.